Good morning, church. How are you? Oh, one person's okay. Good. So I kind of want to pray again because I need God. I've never done a full service without a translator. You can hide behind a translator really easy. It's really easy to be a coward. So Jesus bless the speaker. Amen. Today we're talking about freedom. Woo! So there's one thing that I need you to take away today, and I'm sure it's already there somewhere in your brain and in your heart, but there is freedom in Christ, and we are going to dissect that at least in what we can in 30 minutes and my limited knowledge of life, as I've only been here 20 years. So here's why it's important. So today, the standard of freedom is based on like availability of choices, usually for like pleasure. So commonly thought that a well-paying job, the money that it makes, and then the vacations it can afford is what brings you freedom. And it's this kind of rest that we're looking for in a once-a-year kind of getaway. We're willing to be a slave for school, money, debt, all the sacrifices in the name of freedom. It's about autonomy, driving your own life anywhere for minimal pain, maximal pleasure. But the Bible says that we have a provider that requires us to work hard, but it's not that hard work that brings freedom. And that there's a freedom available right now that can last you every day in the middle of the hard stuff, and you don't have to escape it to find freedom. And that's really good news. Within the lives of God's people, there are two imbalances of freedom. There's a healthy freedom that a lot of people have, and there are imbalances that we can get sidetracked into, and it gets very unhealthy. So there's one train of thought that is so familiar with by grace through faith that we cannot earn our own salvation. So sometimes in that train that's supposed to give all the sovereignty of salvation to God, there's what I call greasy grace, which is where people, knowing God's mercy and his forgiveness, will manipulate it. And that's not good. And that is the opposite of holiness. And then there is another restraining idea that says, I want to be in God's will, only in God's will. And if I miss where God is leading me, I'm sinning against him. I believe this idea mostly stems from James 4:15 that says, you know, you shouldn't say, well, go into that town tomorrow and make a profit, but say, if God wills, we'll do that. And James was mostly talking about the fact that we have no idea what God's planning and we should submit ourselves to him, not that God's will is a tightrope and if you fall off, you're immediately crucifying Christ. You know what I mean? You guys are really quiet. That's good. Tension in scripture like this, James is known for being very tense. It's an incredible book, but it is controversial to a lot of what Paul says, just grace, just grace, just grace. And Paul, James says, don't forget that your life matters too and what you do with it matters. And that's what I want to talk about. So I want to make something very clear. If you are living outside of a relationship with God, hi, welcome to church. I'm really glad you're here. It's very brave to step into somewhere that you're uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with, or if this is your first time in a long time. If you haven't heard of the freedom that comes from God, I want you to experience true freedom. So while I'm speaking, I ask you please to keep your heart open. For freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. That's what Galatians says. Do you want the freedom I'll be speaking about? You already have it. I know you do. Because I'll ask you again. So for everyone who has tasted freedom, this scene that God is good and live a life submitted and in surrender to him, let's talk about the origin of freedom. Thousands of years ago, God gave the Israelites a law to get them to a free point. God was not satisfied with Israel's sin offerings. They are notoriously known for offering to God and then also sacrificing their babies to other gods. And that's not what God wanted. It goes from 614 commandments, and it's whittled away in the Psalms, whittled away to Isaiah 1:14, where he says, your new moons and your appointed feasts, which he appointed, I hate. They become a burden. I'm weary of bearing them. Hosea 6:6, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. If you've ever read, I believe it's Isaiah 55, it talks about fasting. We think of fasting as something to do, usually to get to God. And he talked about the entire, like for a chapter and a half, the fact that you can fast with your body and you can even fast with your words and with prayer and all your time. It's a sacrifice. But if you're not sharing your food once you break the fast, you've missed it. You've missed his heart entirely. They gave the quota for what he needed to be in right relationship, but they missed exactly what it was for. Amos 5:21, I hate and I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. We are sinners saved by grace alone. All right? But now, in God, we've also become saints sustained by him. This isn't on the slides, Leslie, don't worry, but 2 Peter 1:3, I love this one, talks about the divine nature that's actually been given to us. 1 Peter talks about us being a holy nation, and freedom confuses Christians a lot because we get freed from guilt, from shame, from the burden of our own issues because we can now give it to God. We still have them. Oh, I love in Sunday school, we've been talking about doubt. We talked about unforgiveness. We talked about why bad things happen in the world with all the kids. And we talk about that every single one of those things in your life is okay. They happen all throughout the Bible. Doubt, doubting God, doubting what he has to do. Unforgiveness, it's what you do with them. They're a part of the human experience, but you just have to give them back. They're normal, they're good, they're an indication of something. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We were freed, as I just mentioned, from our own sin, from rebellion against God, from slavery to it, and from spiritual darkness, Romans 6:22. But now that you've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, which is a different kind of freedom, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Thank you, Sandy. How are we given it? Hey, Sandy, how are we given it, freedom? Grace. What did it cost?
Grace.
1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. This is speaking of a very specific sin, but it is a huge theme. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Earlier he said, your bodies are made for God, and God is for your bodies. The Holy Spirit's in you. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Freedom wasn't free. So honor God with it. And secondly, the death of ourselves. Has anyone read Romans? Lovely book. When God freed the Israelites from Egypt, he brought them out exactly as they were, loving as they said, they wanted to forsake God so that they could eat cucumbers and melons again. Anyone remember that? They took him exactly as they were, used to what they were used to, enslaved to what they were enslaved to, and then gave them the commandments. He didn't expect them to know everything. There was a lot of process involved. They also failed, but there was a lot of things that he didn't expect them to do right away. Freed first, and then expected to live differently. Hebrews 6:4, let's just go. Yeah, let's start there. It is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the ages to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For the land that has drunken that the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those who whose sake it is cultivated receives it, and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. Did I mess that up? Yep. Good. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end to being burned. And then he lightens the mood. Though we speak in this way, in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Earlier in Hebrews, it says the fleeting pleasures of sin. The Bible says sin is pleasureful, but it also says that there's something worth way more than a fleeting moment. What is this freedom for? So, I know most of you, little church, you love God. And we're here on a Sunday morning, as we are every Sunday morning, and we're singing songs, we give, we worship, but what else is it for? Because the Bible says, for freedom's sake, he set you free. He didn't just set you free and that's it. It's because freedom has a purpose. One, individual expression of Christ. It is freedom to be yourself, but with God. I used to think, because I went to a beautiful church full of beautiful people who all wore collared shirts and like squeaky, beautiful black shoes, that God wanted collared shirts. I thought that they were more holy. I thought that, I don't know, because they were modest and because everyone says God is good. Amen, brother. No matter what you're going through, this God is good seemed like a throwaway phrase that lost all of its meaning in order to seem Christian in the middle of trials. But God doesn't want your squeaky clean button-up. I mean, you guys look lovely, everyone in button-up shirts. Really, it's so good. West Coast, it's hard to get a button-up shirt on someone at church. But this idea to be cookie cutter, I've heard so many people. So does anyone, is it Ravi Zacharias? Does everyone know Ravi? Love him. I believe he once said that he thought that Jesus was for white people. And I was like, you thought you had to change races just so that, and that, never mind. to be cookie cutter Christian, it's when we have the same morals, so we feel like we have to have the same lifestyle. And there's a lifestyle of holiness, don't get me wrong. But lunch in Lund, we just had a motorcycle rally. I once led worship when I was a younger teen at a motorcycle church. People that used to be in gangs. Most of the congregation had been in prison more than once. And more than half of them had actually committed murder. And they all came to praise the Lord, not to get away from the cookie cutters, but because they had things in common and because they wanted to express this in, they didn't have their own gang, but they would preach in and amongst the Hell's Angels. They would all go on these big crusades, and then every Sunday they said, hey, I know this isn't your thing, but I will be preaching tomorrow in front of you guys, so if you want to join, why not? Because that's what Christ died for, freedom. Freedom for everyone, not just everyone that was born white collar. humility, C.S. Lewis, this isn't in the Bible, but C.S. Lewis is pretty close. I'm kidding. C.S. Lewis said, humility is to not think less of yourself. I'm a worm. I'm the worst. But to think of yourself less. And Philippians backs that up. It says to put others' needs as more important as your own. Not because your needs aren't important or that God doesn't value them, but it's all our individual jobs to have each other's back. And that's humility. True free will to choose him in every area of life, just not just on sacrifice days. Israelites were really good at sacrificing. A lot of Christians can be really good at Sunday morning sacrifices. I used to get annoyed by the idea of God's house and doing God's work, because it was whittled down to pretty much the Old Testament, where the church building, where the church, us, meet, being God's house, and then God's work being full-time ministry. Instead of, I'm God's house. He follows me. He's everywhere anyway. And his work is in eating, in drinking, in family, doing everything unto the Lord. Freedom is being able to choose him in everything. There's this idea in Americans. So I just spent the last year in America. In American politics, I took a God and government course at my, just talking about God and what he wants with government and what he's done historically in government. And this idea of separation of church and state, which is not in the U.S. Constitution. It was a letter written to an English pastor from Thomas Jefferson. And the separation of church and state has now come to mean, sort of, that church or religion should not be involved in government, and that people should be able to do that privately, but have it not in there. What Jefferson was specifically talking about was not having a government-owned and run state, the way that England used to be as a Christendom and all of that kind of thing, or even... before, like the Pope being in charge, having say in government, but the freedom of religion in the Constitution is to actually bring your beliefs into government. And that's the freedom that protects. I don't think that's always a good idea, but this is the idea of freedom with God, is that he's not for Sunday mornings. I know a lot of you know this, but he's also for your workplace. He's also for how you resolve conflict, how you build relationships, how you make decisions, self-respect and self-awareness, proper identity. The third is, you are an ambassador. I believe Jazz talked about this last week, but for only from love. Again, doing God's work has turned into, I have to watch my mouth. I have to stop swearing because I represent Jesus. Fair? But why? Why do you want to stop swearing? Is it because you are afraid of him? That he'll throw a lightning bolt? Wrong God. Is it because you think you're disappointing him? Like a parent? Is it because you love him and you want everyone around you to be loved the way that you have been loved and shown mercy? I'm not going to tell you which one of those is right. It's up to you. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful. Freedom! But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me. But if I'm dominated by everything, I'm enslaved to it again. I only want to be dominated by God. That's the best. It says you're either a slave to sin or you're free in Christ, which is being a slave to God. But there's freedom in him. Way different. This one I like because it confused me. Galatians 5, 13, 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Freedom is for service as well. That didn't make sense to me because I thought freedom was autonomy. More choices, even if it's just God trusts me to make my own choices. But he also said, humility means you put someone else first. So the big idea is we are called to a higher standard of living because he's taken away a lot of the hard stuff. It includes holiness. It includes preaching the gospel. It includes community and healthy connection and being led by love in everything. I've already said conflict resolution, proper identity. Micah 6:8. The law was so whittled down. There were always people that loved God, but it was, the idea was so missed that by Micah it came down to three things. And then Jesus took it down to, two commandments. He has told you already, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, other translations say mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. doing justice, Salvation Army is really good at it. Doing justice is the outward. It's the helping. It's the raising kids up. It's the opening your home. It's the all of the things that you relate to God's service. But it comes from loving kindness, loving mercy. That's what goes on inside you. You do it because you love mercy. You love compassion. You need compassion because Jesus is transforming you to have compassion the way he does. And to walk humbly with your God is the spiritual walk. That's where you're led. That's how you're led. So, has anyone heard the term hyper-spiritual? Yeah. New Agers are really good at being hyper-spiritual, and it's really cool, unless you are afraid of falling off of the tightrope of God's will like I used to be. As some of you know, if you heard my story, I grew up in church, but it wasn't until I was 15 that I became a Christian, and I met God. And from then on, I just wanted to know what more he could be involved in my life. I didn't know. Most of you, I believe, are Pentecostal. I don't know what you guys believe. But healing, that God heals today. I've seen it happen way too many times to be like, maybe. So I saw somebody healed, and I didn't know that could happen. I grew up more than a decade with God involved in my life, and I didn't know that he cared about our bodies enough to do what Jesus did when he was on his earthly ministry. And I saw it happen, and I went, what else can God do? And I saw deliverance ministries, and I saw all these. So I got so involved in, maybe that's a sign, maybe this is that I was terrified that God was yelling at me, and I was missing it. And God's ability to speak is not weaker than my ability to hear. He came as a human because that's what we needed, and also so that he could be tempted and resist it. And we can be tempted and resist it. And if he's saying something, he'll make it clear. He's not so cruel, from my experience, that he would expect something of me that he wouldn't guide me in. Have you ever had a 2-year-old? And you say, can you put, like I totally have. you say, can you put the book inside? There's a book outside. And you find it later in the bathroom. And you're like, what? Why did you put this in here? This happened to a friend of mine. And he's like, you told me to put it inside. And you can get mad, but they were obeying you. They're doing exactly what, in their mind, they don't quite understand the necessity for tidiness. I didn't understand why I had to make a bed. By the way, you don't, but you just do. Until I was like 18. Like, you just, there's no reason. So a 2-year-old that doesn't even understand spatial awareness or have any kind of function, they can't throw a ball, to put in the bathroom makes sense. And I know God expects more of us, but we're still nowhere near the same cognitive ability as God. And it's like having a 2-year-old sometimes. God will let you know. And you can keep asking, and you should keep asking. So freedom to me was understanding that God has given me his spirit, and that's an almost, even though I don't deserve it, it is an element of trust. And Christians get so confused about freedom because there's too many options. We make some denominations, I'm sure ours included, make rules that don't exist in the Bible. Forbidding marriage, forbidding drinking. The Bible is clear about some things. Don't be, you know, drunk with much wine, but be full of the Spirit, because it gives an alternative. It's not just saying don't do that for no reason because it could lead to bad choices. It says we have something way better. You don't have to numb yourself anymore. You can be filled with God. Forbidding marriage has been something common because Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians, under the present circumstances, verse 10, which was persecution, that it is better to be not married because it's obviously way easier to watch out for people and to serve God wholly without worrying about your family. Like, if I die being persecuted, will my husband have to worry about it? Will he be able to take care of the kids? Where are they? And we've turned that into a doctrine or being more spiritual. And it's true, you can serve God better when you're not worried about lots of other people. But to say that marriage, not being married, is more spiritual or better has made a lot of sticky situations where God did not forbid marriage. There's been so much freedom that greasy grace has come in because we've said there's too many rules. When God created our new covenant of relationship to be able to rely on him for every decision, there was a law for a reason, and there was freedom for a reason. Being led by love means we don't need, like, covering rules like no alcohol. Paul said to Timothy, hey, you have stomach problems. Please drink some alcohol. God wasn't mad at that. That was specific for Timothy, just like there's something specific for Don, specific for Jazz in certain circumstances. So how do we look at freedom differently? Hallelujah. Maybe you're a follower, but you're stuck. Sometimes I don't think I have freedom, and it has happened where I don't think I have freedom because I'm holding myself to a standard that God hasn't currently asked of me. He might, and there's always process. God is okay with process. Hallelujah. I can't say, well, God told me or I feel led to not wear something certain, so you can't either. That's not. The opposite of what I'm saying. Self-bound rules are not freedom, but freedom is a privilege. Colossians 1:21-22 says, you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. It had a price. It's freedom or sin. Freedom from, freedom to, not freedom to sin. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as a servant and servants of God. And it wasn't free. If you're walking in freedom, if you love God and you don't know what to do about it, or you just love God, it's always good to see where you are, where you are with him in your prayer life, in your journaling, and three questions that I would love for you to reconnect with. One, is God working in my life? So what do you offer to the Lord in prayer, and what do you not because you think you can handle it on your own or you don't want to bother him? What impossibility was just made possible in your life? Did you thank him? What possibility out of your control? It was possible, but you just didn't do it. What were you blessed with like that? Remember that trials of various kinds are also worthy of joy, so take that into account when thinking and thanking God. Two, am I growing in holiness? If you don't know, start a journal. I'm sure lots of you guys have journals, but maybe set a date, like today and then a month from now. Make it real. Dedicate 10 minutes every evening. Write down where you're feeling led, your prayers, your desires, what you're struggling with. Lay it in print before God and check back in 3 months or 1 month. But start now and do your future self a favor. Encourage yourself in this, or look back and have more specific prayer requests. If you look back and you're like, I'm still struggling with that, or I don't understand where God's leading, pray specifically. Then you'll get to see, you'll get to reap the reward of seeing a specific thing prayed for instead of God, help this, cover this, whatever. It's like, God, I need this, and I'm excited to see how you'll do this if this is what you're asking of me. And third, what does God want from me? God wants all of you. That's why you were required to die to yourself so that you could be fully his. But he doesn't hate you. That's not why he asked you to die. He asked you to die to be filled with his life, still expressing him the way you would. And that means individual sacrifices. That means individual using giftings. And it means individual expression and individual love. So, if this is your first or one of the first few times you've been in a church service, or first in a long time, if you have never made the decision to follow Christ, if you've had the desire or not, and there's a burning in your heart right now, please follow that. Life is way too simple to ignore the need to be with God. The Bible says, while we were enemies of God, all of us, Christ died for us. He didn't see your potential, and he didn't see your current value, because he created you for him. And if you're not with him, you're not experiencing full life. If any of you have not and want to follow Christ, Pastor Jazz and I will be at the back, and there's no shame, and there's no, in fact, there's freedom. I don't know if you got that part. Please talk to us. God is way too important. Don't ignore it. Jesus, thank you so much for this privilege. God, thank you that the body is so big. Your body, your church, your people, we are so big and we are so different. Lord, thank you that we're all in process. But Lord, thank you that you've taken away all of our burdens, all of our shame. Thank you, Lord, that you want something from us, and that responsibility and that love is freeing. And God, I just ask that anyone in here that has suppressed or ignored or is curious, Lord, that they would be fully open to you. God, I thank you so much that we can congregate on a Sunday. People of all ages that would not normally speak to each other on the street, Lord, thank you that we can hug each other and love each other and ask each other about our individual walk with you, because I will never know what they're going through fully. I only know what you and I have. And Lord, we get to actually share that. Lord, we bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your grace that saved us and will always sustain us. Thank you for your freedom. God, we just ask that all of the hypocrisy in all of us and in all of the church that has come from this freedom, that you would give wisdom the way you promised in James, you would give wisdom freely to all without reproach. And that we can give it back to you. Amen.